Expectation this morning is that he is going to do something while we're here. It could be different for all of us, but our expectation should be that he's here for us and he wants to do something miraculous, whether it's something, a little miracle or a huge miracle. He wants to do those things. And this song is called Graves into Gardens. There's nothing better than you. Aren't you so glad that you know God this morning? Especially in this time. It's been such a hard year for people. And I know even for Christians it's been hard to trust that God is still in control, even though we don't understand it. Amen. So let's sing this out. Us. Amen. You guys know the song, let's sing it. I was lost, I was a chance. sits on heaven's mercy.
Happy Valentine's Day. Anybody excited? No? I guess I wasn't expecting that response. Welcome to church. Anybody excited? Okay, that's better. That's okay. Okay, so although you have no love lives, I'm glad that you're here. You know, as we've been singing about that, it was kind of interesting, and I was thinking of all of those songs where we cry out to our Savior, where we declare that God is our first love, and we declare how vital we need the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I think, boys, oh boys, if we could love like He loves, eh? That would change so many things. Anyway, we want to welcome you to church today. Kirtland and I have been kind of praying about this series for a long time, and we've had some books that we've been poring over, and it just seems like every time we wanted to kind of get to this, I wasn't ready. And he's been patient with me, and I'm so glad that he has been. But he's been faithfully looking into the same books that I've been looking into because they were challenging me. And I kind of said, you know, I think there's this, God is calling us to connect. And he kind of came up with that idea of connect. He said, you know, we're connected all the time. And I said, we are to things that really don't matter, but we should be connected to the very best all of the time. And he got me thinking about this, especially because Ella, some of you know, is getting ready to go off to university. And Allison and I, we don't even really talk about it a whole lot, although it comes up, and then we both kind of get weepy. And I was feeling a little nostalgic, and I said, Lord, I know that we've got phones. I know that she talks with me on Instagram, but I'm really, really going to miss her, even just her sarcasm, when she moves away. And that's okay. You know what? I've got Elias to entertain me. I've got a hound that will make me fall. I've got a wife that I try to pay as much attention to as I can, but we're going to miss that part of our family. And so I was feeling really nostalgic. And some of you who've been to our home, you know that this collage at the back, I've got collages all over my house. Every year I make a collage. So I take a lot of pictures and I celebrate a lot of those things. Well, right across from my chair at home is a picture, a family picture of us standing in front of the castle at Disneyland. And some of you will know that we had some friends that flew us out there several years ago, and we spent a week in California, and we went to Disneyland in California Adventure. And one of the things that we went on, because our friends kind of had some connections there, and one lady in particular that designed It's a Small World, that famous ride, It's a Small World. You can see it featured in The Simpsons, so you know it's famous, right? It was one of that ride is friends to with our friends. And so they kind of said, you know what, we'd really like you to go on this. And they said, it's kind of, you know, it's not the most exciting ride, but it's got a lot of memories for us and all those sorts of things. It has a lot of meaning. And so we went on It's a Small World, and we loved it because of who we were with and the history that was being shared with us. And I was praising the Lord this week thinking, Lord, I know it's a small world. And I know if Ella goes and starts a life of her own, even if it's only in university, she's going to be coming home. It's a small world. I'll be able to stay connected. But we're connected with people all the time. I was thinking of just this week. I connected with my mom, and I connected with L-Dog. That's what I call Larry. L-Dog. And we were texting back and forth this week. And then I connected with Cal and another friend in Vermont through email. And then I connected with Ella and Aaron on Instagram, and I connected with Jessica and a friend from New Brunswick on Facebook, and I connected with Netflix, because at lunch sometimes I just need to stop my brain, and there was a new series that I started to watch, and I connected with Netflix, and I was watching a show during my lunch hour. I connected with PayPal and transferred some money to the church account, and I connected with Apple because we ordered some computers. If you've been there Tuesday night, that little computer we're using, I praise the Lord for it. But its time is coming to an end, and I am rejoicing at that. It takes me a long time to use it, and that's okay. We praise the Lord for it, but I connected with Apple to get a brand new one. We connected with Amazon to get Allie's Valentine's gift, and it still wasn't here, but I showed her a picture of it today, something that just made me smile and think of her. And we're connected. We are connected. We're connected to so many things and so many platforms. Well, since the new year, I've been reading these two books that have challenged me in this idea of connecting. And the two books, some of you might know these authors, but Mark Buchanan is one of those, he was a Baptist pastor. Right now, I think he's the professor at the of theology at Ambrose University. And he started to write again, which thrills me after this transition. But he wrote a book called God Walk. And it talks about connecting with God, and it's really been blessing my heart. Then there was another one that Ethan put me onto. It was called Hearing God by Nathan Fiocchio. I know I probably just butchered his name, but he is one of the teaching pastors at Hillsong in New York. And these books, again, have been challenging me to connect with God, and I love it. And even I was connecting with Dave Parker, who, praise the Lord, he's home. Thank you for your prayers for him. He's got a month of IVs and antibiotics, and they're coming to the house, so he still needs your prayer. But I was talking with Dave on the telephone, and he was saying, Andrew, he said, I don't sleep well in the hospital. And I said, Dave, how have you been dealing with that? And he said, well, I'm some glad to be home, but when I was there, he said, you know what I found myself doing? And I said, what's that, Dave? He said, late into the night, I was singing the old hymns, and oh, Andrew, how they encouraged me. And one of the ones that I think of all the time, and Dave made me think of it right away, was written by Austin Mills. And it says, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me. And he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. And I was thinking of that, saying, praise the Lord for truths like that. And of course, I've been dealing with this whole idea of saying, Lord, I just want to connect with you so much more. I love it when he walks with me. I love it when he talks with me. And again, I come to that realization that God is always longing for that. It's me who sometimes takes him for granted, right? And I was saying, Lord, we're called to talk with you. We're called to walk with you, and it's a spiritual discipline that we should be seeking after day, moment after moment. And I kind of talked about that last week in Deep Brook. I was kind of saying, you realize, like we need to realize the Holy Spirit waits for us every morning. And I've said this before, and yet, you know, so many times we get up in the morning and we rush out about our day because we usually try to get as much sleep as we can, or maybe we didn't sleep well and we just want to get to the coffee maker first, you know, and then you get to the mirror and you admire yourself if you're anything like me and go, wow, right? And then you get dressed and you get on in your day. And so many times we go from one appointment to the next appointment, or we're rushing around at work, and before we know it, we come home. And here's the challenge. Really, sometimes, unfortunately, the first time we think of God is when we fall asleep with our nightly prayers. We fall asleep on him. And I think, how dare we? Like, we should have this spiritual discipline in our lives where we understand that the Heavenly Father is so vital to us, that we're so grateful for what Jesus has done for us in this idea of the cross and also conquering death, that we should be so excited about the Holy Spirit's role in our lives that when we get up in the morning, our first breath should be his. And sometimes we forget. Again, I've said this phrase. But think about this. We're not human beings having a spiritual experience. We're spiritual beings having a human experience. That on average, we get about 75 years in this life. And as you approach that, it seems like it's going faster and faster and faster. And then what is after that? We enter our spiritual eternity. And the key word there is eternity. I am yours. You are mine. And we'll be together forever. Think about that for a minute. And so I think about this question, who are we? Who are we? And usually we try to describe that to others with the 75 years. Okay, well, we have 75 years. Who are we? That's not who we are. Think about eternity. Who are you really? You know, we have people who say, well, I'm a contractor. I'm a fisherman. Well, I'm a preacher. Okay, that's what you do, but that's not who you are. Well, I'm a nurse. Well, I'm a store clerk. That's who I am. No, it's not. That's 75 years weighed against eternity. Who are you? You are a child of the King. That is who we are. It's not about being a teacher or a crossing guard. You are a child of the King of Kings, and that is how you will spend your eternity. So who are you really? And if we are spending eternity with God Almighty, then shouldn't we learn to walk with Him and talk with Him in these short few years that we have on this planet Earth? He should be our waking breath. He should be our focus. And yet so many times, like I've seen it this past week, I love the Super Bowl. I was so excited that Tom Brady and Gronk won another ring and kind of had to silence all the critics. And that was an exciting day for me. But I saw so many more people in the world getting excited about the Super Bowl than they do about Jesus. Like today's another big one. NASCAR, and we get excited about that. It's weird because NASCAR, their Super Bowl kind of is the beginning of the season. It's their big celebration. It's their kickoff to say, you know what, we're back. And so the Daytona 500 is today, and I'm excited about that. But I'm excited about NASCAR for different reasons. Do you know that I really appreciate the sport of NASCAR? And the reason why I do that is because NASCAR seems to be, in everything they do, God-centered. Now, you may argue that, but I want to debate that with you today. That they're the only professional sport that has ministries that they support all year long. And maybe you've heard of some of these. You know that Random Acts of Kindness Foundation is supported by NASCAR? Do you know that our Daily Bread that many of you read every month is supported by NASCAR? They have a ministry called Finish a Winner. They did this great big campaign, and it was so successful, it still goes on today, and you can check it out. It's called I Am Second. And what it does is it gets people to share their testimony of when Jesus came first and they became second. And it's this beautiful, very well done testimonial. Many famous people, many people just like you and I, telling their stories about how Jesus changed everything. And here's the other thing. I think about that. I go, here's another thing that NASCAR does that I really respect. That every Sunday, they know they race on the weekends. Well, in our culture, the weekend is when we usually take time to observe our Sabbath and to love on the Lord. And so NASCAR is the only sport that I know of around the world who every Sunday, they have a tent or a building. Many of them have buildings that are already dedicated to it. But every Sunday, they hold services, not just for their drivers and families, but for their fans. That's incredible to me. Again, they're the only sport that I know of, and they fought for this. Every race, before every race, they pray to God Almighty, and they telecast that. And they said, that, you know, Fox over the years has kind of maybe fought them and pushed back on that, saying, you know what, you shouldn't be praying to Jesus. And they said, you know what, if we're not going to air that, then we're not going to air the race. And I love the way they stood up for what they believe, and they're the first sport to have chaplains available all year long, not just during the racing season. Each team has chaplains, and it's not just for the drivers, it's for the pit crews, it's for the families. And I love the fact that even though NASCAR has become this great big world-renowned sport, they unapologetically still have Jesus as a foundation. And I think, okay, so here's the beauty of this. Why do I get so excited about that? Here is a sport that says, you know what? We're not professional race car drivers. We're children of the King who happen to make a living racing cars. You see the difference? And there's the perspective that I kind of want to talk about today, that we need to rethink who we explain to others that we are. We need to rethink the way that maybe we live. Spiritual discipline doesn't happen by chance. Spiritual discipline is a choice. And here's the thing. Again, do we recognize that we're spiritual beings? No, Andrew, I'm a human being. Baloney. Humans die. We mark it on our gravestone with a beginning and an end date. If you are a believer here today, you're not a human being. You're a spiritual being. And when this life is over, your new life begins. Who are you? How important is eternity to you? Right? I hope that we think about those questions, who we are, in the context that we are children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Think of Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 9, starting to read at verse 24. He says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Like these meaningless medals, and I'm not saying that those aren't great accomplishments. When I watch the Olympics and all those sorts of things, I understand those athletes are doing things at a very different level. But in the end, there's going to be another winner next year. The race that we are in is for all of eternity, and it is to get a crown that will last forever. Is that something that you want? Are we in training for that? To run as if to win. To know that the crown that we get is precious and will last forever. And then I ask, is forever important to you? Because sometimes, again, and I'm not the judge, praise the Lord for this, but the Lord is very clear that by their fruit you shall know them. There's times when I kind of go, really? Like brothers and sisters, they claim to be brothers and sisters, that's not between me and them, that's between them and the Lord. Right now, if they come to our church, I may challenge people sometimes and say some things that hopefully make people think. But there's times when I see people who claim to be my Christians and brothers and sisters, and they're so self-focused or earthly focused that they're, and I go, what have you done for the kingdom? Again, my question to myself, Andrew, how has heaven changed because you've been given another week on planet Earth? How has heaven changed? Because what's important there? John 15:5, Jesus says this. He says this. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you remain in me and I in you. You know, this week, I took a really big spiritual blow. Some of you know that Rabbi Zechariah is a huge hero of mine. His mind, I went, oh. His ministry team just came out this week in Christianity Today, and they released an article that Rabbi had some secrets. And they come to find out that on his phones and personal devices, there was over 200 contacts for massage parlors where some bad things happened. And then they went through his phones back to 2014, and they saw some pictures of some ladies who worked in different massage parlors around the world and scantily clothed or no clothes. And you know what? The Christian world just went, oh. And I'm sad and I'm grieving that because he was a hero of mine. And again, some of the things that he taught me and challenged me in, I still praise the Lord for the ministry that he had. God still used him in mighty ways to challenge me and to make me strive harder for my Savior. But it hurts so bad when those Christian leaders let us down. When those heroes are seen in the mess, it hurts. And then I was thinking this week where Jesus said, I am the vine. If you remain in me, you are going to bear fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing. And I was thinking to myself even today and this week, am I in him? And I'm trying to guard that. How in the world do I remain in the center of who God is? Because here's the reality. I thought of Rabbi Zechariah as such a human hero, and if he can fall and be such a mess secretly, how vulnerable am I? Like all this reality came crashing in on me, and I said, Jesus, it's about you. My life has to be about Jesus. It has to be about God the Father. It has to be directed every moment of every second of every day by the Holy Spirit that I need to walk with him. Because that's how I get where God wants me to go. Then I need to talk with him. And part of talking is listening, because that's when I understand his heart and his mind. Are we there? John 8:12. He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. And I found out that one of my earthly heroes had a lot of darkness. I am the light, Jesus says. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And I think, wow, what are the consequences of missing a day of walking with Jesus? And that story this week just threw me, and I said, Lord, we need you. When we fail to walk with him, when we fail to talk with him, the result is darkness, and we know that. Right from the very beginning in Scripture, in Genesis 3:8, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden. This was a tradition for God and his creation to walk together in the garden in the cool of the day, it says. And what did they do? They hid from the Lord God among the trees in the garden. Called to walk with him, that was our natural state. You and I made to walk with God Almighty, to talk with God Almighty. And we understand that sin gets in the way, but that's your natural calling. Right from the very beginning. And then the sin issue comes through, all right? But it's still our calling to walk with God. And think about those celebrated. Genesis 5:22. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. That's one of those exciting verses where you go, are you kidding me? Enoch's desire was so much for heaven, so much for the Father, so much for the Holy Spirit, that there was this moment in his life when he was worshiping and seeking God so hard that God squeezed him right out of earth and into heaven. What? Are you kidding me? Like, that's beautiful. That's why it's talked about. Genesis 6:9, Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time. And he walked faithfully with God. You and I called to walk with him. Proverbs 9:6, leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of insight. Walk in the way of God. That's our purpose. And what happens when we walk with him? Here's the beauty of it. When we walk with him, he talks with us. Talk happens. Like, you can't get around that. It's kind of amazing to me. Right? That's how you get to know someone. You start to talk with them. I remember my first year, my first week. I'm there all of a sudden, four provinces over. My life is turned upside down. My shoulders and my ankles are trying to heal. You figure out how that turned out. Trying to heal because I still wanted to play hockey, and that was still my desire. And I'm finding myself in Sussex, New Brunswick, at what's now Kingswood. And I'm sitting there and I'm going, okay, Lord, I'm going to take 6 months off. Don't forget about me. And then all of a sudden I got distracted, and it was this cute little girl who was sitting over there in the Kingswood Visitor Center. And I was going, whoo, look at that. Okay, Lord, maybe I am here for a reason, right? And I was thinking about that. And one of our first, or really our first date, even though she wouldn't call it a date, but I call everything that we ever did a date. They had this volleyball tournament, beach volleyball tournament, and there was a little court right outside our visitor center. And the people were signing up for a two-on-two tournament just so people could get to know one another at the university. And I was kind of thinking, I want to get to know her. And so I'm like, do you play volleyball? And if you don't, that's okay. I'm really good. You want to be my partner, right? And so she says yes, and I'm like, woo, I still got it. And I sign up. And I'm like, by the way, what's your name? Right? And she says, my name is Allison Bickford. I'm like, oh, that's a little angel right there. That's what that sounds like. And we went out, we played volleyball, and it was so amazing, and it was just this fun time of getting to know her. And then we started to hang out, and I started to talk with her right away. It was kind of amazing to me, but I was the one who had to be proactive in that. You know, when I first saw Allison, she was in her second year. I was just this new kid. And there was already several guys who were kind of interested in her. You want to know what their problem was? They weren't proactive. When I went over and talked, they had a year, morons, right? And they wouldn't go over and talk to her. And I was the first thing I said, I'm going to talk to her. And as soon as I talked to her, and I jumped right on that, and there was no delay, and I was proactive in starting to get to know her and to build a relationship with her. And while I was talking with her, she was listening to me. And while she was talking, I was listening to her. And you want to know what happened? While those other guys were delaying, there's only one of us that married her. And I was thinking again, this relates so much to our relationship with God. That again, as we walk with God, He talks with us. And He listens to us. And the conversation, the benefits are so outstanding that all of a sudden we have this awesome privilege. And what is gained? What is gained? The most important thing that you will ever experience, you gain a relationship with God Almighty. You get answers from heaven. You get provisions because God knows your heart. You get direction, you get strength, you get all of these things from walking and talking with God. And so I want to ask you this morning, is that something that we should strive for as a spiritual discipline? Of course it is. You know, you schedule time to get together to have a coffee with Jack, say. Do you schedule to get together with God? And you may try to play the spiritual card and say, Andrew, every day, every second, I'm with God. No, every day and every second, God is with you, but there's a lot of times you ignore Him. Oh, that we would learn to walk with God. We would be disciplined enough to talk with God and then to listen. As Adam walked in the garden with God, that would be our habit. As Adam talked with God in the garden, that would be our habit. That we would always be fighting this thing that tries to get in the way of our relationship, which is sin. So let's have a personal moment just for a second. If heaven is forever and this life, James describes as just a vapor, a mist that passes. Like, think about that. So if our spiritual lives last for eternity and this earthly life is just a vapor, if heaven and hell is a final outcome of how we spend our days on this earth, then do we believe that walking and talking with God is a spiritual discipline worthy? Wow. So let me ask you these. Everybody bow your heads. I really want this to be a personal time. I want you to be real. Real with yourself. I want you to be real with God. And this is just the beginning. This is the introduction to where I want to go. But I want to ask you some real questions. Where is God leading you right now? Where is God leading you? Some of you don't even know. And I want us to be real with that because there's spiritual disciplines that we need in our lives in order to answer that question. So if you're not sure where God is leading you right now, I want to suggest to you as one of your leaders that didn't happen by chance. That is your choice, and I think you're making the wrong one. If you don't know where God is leading you right now, there's a problem there, and I hope that this morning you see it. Speaking of seeing it, can you see God right now in your life? Can you see Him? Do you see Him moving? Are you hearing when He speaks? Do you know His voice? Because again, as His sheep, you're supposed to know His voice. He's the shepherd, amen? Do you know Him, or are you listening to a whole bunch of other things? And you know what? I get it. Whew! We are so bombarded with messages, with entertainment, with so many things that are meaningless, that oftentimes the voice of God is really competing in our lives. So I want to know, do you hear Him? Right now in your life, do you hear Him? I'm not talking about have you ever heard Him. You're here today because you were a believer, because you heard Him. You heard Him. Are you hearing Him right now? Or are you in a season where maybe you've forgotten His voice? Do you see Him right now? Because again, God is not hiding. Sometimes we cloud Him. Sometimes we build our own tents that obscure our vision. But God never hides from us. So the big question is are you walking and talking with Him? Because the joy you share when you tarry there, none other has ever known. Oh, I pray that our lives in this journey would be so joy-filled. I would love it if we so pursued God that all of a sudden one day I read you disappeared. like Enoch. Can you imagine? Ah, oh, can you imagine? Let's pray together. Father God, I want to say thank you for today. And Lord, I'm scared and I'm excited about where you want to take us in this idea of these spiritual disciplines. Lord, I know this. I know that when I am connected with you, there is a joy and a peace. When I am connected with you, there is a patience, there is a mercy, there is a grace. When I am connected with you, oh, the joy, the life that it is transformed, it's mine. But God, I shudder to think of those moments when you were there, but I was missing you. When you were longing for me, but I wasn't sharing the same kind of passion for you. And Father God, I'm so sorry for those moments of despair. But Father God, I pray that as we go through this series, that you would show us, Lord, that you would make the scales fall off of our eyes, that you would make our deaf ears hear, that you would allow us to see you and hear you in new ways, that our passion for you would be undeniable. And Lord, it's not going to happen by chance. We have to be proactive in desiring you. Lord, my prayer this morning is that I want to want you. Even more. I want you more. Oh, Father God, I pray that you would stretch us. Lord, I love it. I love it when you take us further down the road into who you are. And what you desire to know your heart, God, is the biggest rush that I've ever experienced in this life. And Lord, while I can't wait to see you face to face, may I never miss a moment with you here in this plane. Would I never miss a moment with you here on planet Earth? Oh, that we would be filled with desire for you. Lord, I pray you challenge us in the weeks that are ahead. Challenge us. Challenge our prayer lives. Challenge our listening ears. Challenge our disciplines of walking with you. Challenge us, Lord. Challenge us. I pray that we'd be more excited about you than any earthly thing that we've ever experienced. Lord, that's my prayer. Lord, if we're not there now, oh, take us there. Take us deeper, deeper. How deep can we dive, Father God, until we are lost in everything that you are? Lord, I pray that over our lives, that we would be lost in you, lost in you. That's when life begins. Ugh. Challenge us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.